And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back for another episode of the Startup Hustle. This is your host, Matt Watson. Today, excited to be joined by a very special guest, somebody that, well, done a lot of things with, and his father was actually one of the reasons I started my very, very first company. I'm sure we'll tell that story today. Danny Zaslavsky. He is one of the co-founders and executives at DealerQ, which is a very prominent automotive startup here in Kansas City. Talk about his journey from working at the car dealership, owning a car dealership, to working in tech. So it should be a fun story. Before we get started, I do want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Fullscale, which is my company. We help all sorts of companies build all sorts of different startup, front end, back end, mobile, QA, whatever it is you're trying to build, whatever your technology is, you can check us out at fullscale.io. Danny, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Matt. It's good to see you. It was wild to have you walk by the NADA floor and just stop by and be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, so like three or four weeks ago now, I was in Las Vegas to the big automotive car dealer conference that happens every year. And yeah, I just walked by and showed up.
And there you were.
I hadn't been there in 13 years because I haven't really been in automotive for 13 years. But it was cool, and it was kind of a reunion. There was probably like 20 other people I saw that I hadn't seen in a very long time. So it was pretty cool to be there. And that's the big conference every year. So, you know, most everybody in the industry is there. And it's just cool to see all the people.
Yeah.
Did you guys have a big show?
Yeah, we had a really great show. It's cool because it's fun to have a goal that the whole company can point at. And for us, you know, we had so many development ideas that turned into processes that work in a store and products, and we're all running towards it, and sales team and performance team and development team. And it all comes together and it all has to work. And it did. And so now we're reaping the rewards of it by onboarding new clients.
Well, so tell us just a little bit more about DealerQ and what it does. And then I'd like to hear more of the backstory of how we got here. But, you know, tell us a little bit more about DealerQ and what you guys do.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, when I grew up in the car dealership, there were so many different solutions that were needed to do various parts of the vehicle lifecycle process, whether it was appraising a car, whether it was merchandising a car or getting a car out to the world, syndicating a car, whether it was helping a salesperson become more tech savvy and giving them some technology in their hands. And what ended up happening is we'd go to shows like I saw you at NADA, and then we'd walk around the show floor and we'd buy all this technology, and then we'd listen to what they had to tell us on how we should run our business. And we'd go back all excited and walk around the store and try to get everybody's buy-in. And that's the life I lived. And I thought I was unique in that. And I was super excited about, I mean, I carved my way into the marketing side of Country Hill because that's where technology was at the time when I was growing up. So eventually, like, you know, I had three screens on my desk and 19 different windows open. And for a while, I felt super cool about it. And then after a while, I began to resent it because I was like, man, this is a lot to just buy and sell a car. And so we wanted to create an ability for a dealer like myself and others to manage a vehicle from point of appraisal to point of sale. And I didn't know what to call it back in the day, but I kind of had a little epiphany. I was walking through a Target and, you know, pulling something off of a shelf. And I go, wait a second, customer service isn't sitting there trying to replace what I just put on, what I just took off the shelf. But in a car dealership, that's exactly how they behave. You buy something and then sales managers are sitting there trying to replace what you just bought. So we wanted to build supply chain management into the used car and new car world. And we call that total vehicle lifecycle management.
Okay. Well, very cool. And I think from my experience from VinSolutions, which VinSolutions started and I exited just before DealerQ started. And some of the original founders of DealerQ worked at VinSolutions, which was part of the connection that I had to you guys and the company as well. But we did some similar things at VinSolutions around like building websites for people and helping them doing vehicle pricing and other types of tools. And so there was some similarities to those, to some of those tools that we did, but they were all around vehicle merchandising. And you guys went 10 times beyond what we ever did at Vin and have really taken it to the next level and are now one of the industry leading solutions. So what's interesting is you and I have known each other for almost 25 years. So when I first started in automotive, it was actually because your dad went to Sears to buy a computer. And, you know, I ask everybody who wants to buy a computer, what are they going to use it for? And of course your dad's like, oh, I got this software, has our vehicle inventory, our customers in it, all this stuff. And whoever originally built that software was like crazy and fled the country. It was like some story. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Totally fled the country.
Went to the Bahamas or something. It was something like that. And I was just like, hey, maybe I can help you. I don't know. I was in college at learning computer programming, and I ended up, you know, helping you guys rebuild that software. And through that process, I helped the dealership, Country Hill Motors, which is in Merriam, Kansas, for probably 3 years or so off and on doing this stuff. And you and I met a few times there. You were probably 17 years old, 18 years old, something like that. I was like 18, 19 years old, something like that. And met a few times. And then when I worked at VinSolutions, we worked together a lot more closely because you had taken a much bigger role in the dealership and you were running marketing and doing all these things. And we worked together quite a bit. You were a customer of VinSolutions.
Yep.
At that time. And we worked together very closely. So it's cool. You know, we've known each other for almost 25 years in and around automotive. So it's been very cool.
Well, you inspired me a bunch because I watched your curiosity and the way that you showed up at the car dealership to essentially solve a problem. You didn't ever seem, and still to this day, it never seemed like you had like delusions of grandeur. You just wanted to solve the problem. And you kept solving that problem on a bigger scale, which obviously paid off for you with VinSolutions.
You know, and honestly, that's always been it for me. I've always just been in it for the challenge and trying to solve the problem. Just like when your dad walked in that day, I'm like, I don't know, maybe I can help you. Can I help you? You know, it was just like, I don't know. I've just always been that way. I've just always been kind of opportunistic and try to be helpful to people. Right. And I think that's one of the great things about being an entrepreneur. And that's one of the best ways to be an entrepreneur is just being open-minded. Like, hey, can I help somebody else? Can we create a business out of this? Can we do it for other people? And, you know, you ultimately started a couple companies along the way, right? I'd love to hear more about your entrepreneur journey.
Yeah. So growing up in the, I mean, okay, my dad coming over from Ukraine, 79, like I grew up in this immigrant family that saw opportunity and just grabbed onto it. And you can imagine they saw a bunch of opportunity and sometimes grabbed on the right thing and sometimes grabbed on the wrong thing, but found their way. My dad was a cobbler when he first came out. My mom worked in a clothing factory. And then my dad started like curbing cars and selling, and then eventually met Josh and at the car dealership and figured out a way to work with him. Well, in the meantime, like I'm bumping around between all these different places and seeing the example that my parents are setting, that it's like, you just got to get it done, while getting pressure from them to go be a doctor, because that's the only way a son of an immigrant can succeed. So doing all this stuff. And then I remember when you came out to the car dealership and helped us out you know, Josh and his Josh way convinced you to help us build a better way to do paperwork and essentially a DMS. But I was always so curious in wanting to have a bigger impact. And I didn't know how to put words to it, but I essentially fell in love with where like industry and technology met and how to scale that. And so in watching you grow your company, VinSolutions, and watching how you brought in people like your dad and your friends and allowed them to essentially stretch their superpowers to help grow the mission, and how that exploded, I was like, you know what? There are problems that I see within my dealership. One of them being the inability to really elevate the used car experience. And so back in 2011, two of my friends said, you know what, we have an opportunity to compete in the business plan competition at GW. And I was like, what are we going to compete in? And they're like, that's why we're asking you, because you should have the idea. So I said, okay, I do have an idea. And the company at the time was called DealerPrints. And the whole idea behind DealerPrints was, how do we take all this data that lives out in the world on a used car, and not just the commodity value of the data, like year, make, model, and geography, and mileage, and stuff like that, but the inherent values, because all used cars are not equal, and like the work the dealer puts into it, certification, and warranty, and inspection, and reconditioning, and all this other stuff. How do we communicate that in a beautiful way? Because at Country Hill, we were selling cars for like 12 grand.
Yeah.
On the high side. So yeah, we knew that our customer didn't have two other cars in their driveway. We wanted to give them a really elevated experience. So DealerPrints was meant to create like this awesome brochure so that we could like make that customer experience so much better. And so we put together our PowerPoints and our talking points, and we rehearsed and rehearsed, and we flew out to DC, and we competed against a bunch of companies, including TrueCar, which I didn't learn about till later, but TrueCar was in competing there with us. And we ended up taking first place, and we ended up winning. But I learned a lot in that experience, because the company ended up not going anywhere. Thomas and Anthony, my business partners at the time, we each had different ideas of how to take this thing and build it. And they're still my two best friends today. But it didn't go anywhere because we didn't have a singular focus. But I still had that like gut feeling that I was like, man, I really want to do something about this. So back to the dealership I went.
Okay. Well, what's interesting that I'd love to ask you about a little bit is, over all these years of time since we met and until today, nearly 25 years, you know, what's also interesting about your story is you have kind of the generational effect of you like kind of taking over the dealership, right? Versus you were, you know, helping your dad, you know, 25 years ago around the dealership, and how that has dramatically changed, not just, you know, your dealership, your business, but all the businesses, because you had kind of the old car dogs that were big on technology, didn't do things, you know, the way that they're done now. And you kind of lived through that life cycle as, you know, one of the sons of the dealership, right? And have had to pioneer some of this technology, getting your dad, getting your business partner to embrace technology. What has that been like?
Well, okay. So there's been moments where I remember standing on outside and I'm like, Dad, we need to advertise. And they're like, we don't need to advertise. I'm like, Dad, we need to advertise. He goes, what? He goes, why? I go, because we'll get more customers. And he goes, look, and he points at train tracks, literally at the bottom of our hill. And the train stops every hour on the hour, and then traffic builds up. And all those cars are sitting there. He goes, what do you think they're looking? They're looking at our front line. That's the advertising. And so I remember taking a risk and saying, how about I change my pay plan? I'll change my pay plan, because I knew we were selling about 35 cars a month. And I said, I only want to get paid on vehicles over our average, over 35. And give me $10,000 to use for advertising, and I'll prove to you that we can do that. But if I do, this is what I want to get paid. So I got to do that for 3 months. And on the third month, I made more money than I've ever made in the car business. It was like a really big check. And I'll never forget my dad bringing me into the office with Josh and both of them sitting there in the corner. My dad looking at Josh and going, what do we do? And Josh goes, well, he worked the pay plan and he got us there. And my dad goes, and then he goes, am I allowed to cuss? He goes, F it, pay him. So, and then my pay plan changed like that, right? But it was that moment that I knew I had something. I knew that I was like, okay, cool. I can actually push against the grain and not always just have to listen to what I'm told. But I came up with this mantra back then that was, if you do what's right, you're never wrong. Because my dad was this big personality, and I was at moments like, depending on what his mood was, I had permission to have, you know, a good mood or a bad mood, until I realized, no, I'm my own person. And if I do what's right, I'm not going to be wrong. And every day is going to be a new right. So that marketing step was an important one for me in the future of taking over the dealership, for sure.
So what kind of advertising was that?
So it was getting us on TV. It was getting us on radio. What I learned was radio stations always wanted to give stuff away. And I hated giving stuff away, because I called it the bingo effect. When you give something away, one person is excited and then everyone else is pissed. So I was like, nope, we're only going to do stuff that is benefits like the community and charity. So we started this program called Season of Giving, and it was tied to donating, but it was also tied to incentives for customers. And
okay,
we started doing all these different, what today you would call multi-channel advertising. But back then it was just reaching out to news stations and TV stations and radio stations and leveraging essentially, you know, everything I could to get our brand out there and to be different, because there was nobody else selling cars in the $3,000 to $12,000 price range. Everybody else was selling $20,000 and $30,000 cars. And here we were procuring really good cars you can buy in under 12 grand.
So I'm curious, do you have any other funny stories of trying to get them to, you know, be more modern, like going to, you know, more digital retailing and using CRM and using all this kind of stuff?
Man, I'm sure I have a ton. I mean, Josh, for the longest, was walking outside and stepping in front of a car and raising his hand, because he knew that he would be noticeable. And so we were in Auto Mart and Auto Trader magazine at the time, and you would flip through pages and his sense of pride would come from how many times would he see himself waving. And the Auto Trader guy at the time had more hair coming through his nose than on his head. And so he would always, Josh would stand there and do the same three moves. He would adjust his belt, he would pull up his pants, and he would raise his left arm. and then there was the picture. And then all of a sudden people started copying. People would put dogs on the hoods, women in the cars, like all sorts of stuff. And by the end of it, we were the longest standing Auto Trader and Auto Mart magazine advertiser, because when those publications started dying, it was literally pages of Country Hill. That was it. And
I'm happy about it because of Josh.
Yeah, because the distribution was so cheap for us and everybody else wasn't doing it. We eventually transitioned, right, to syndicating and putting our cars online. And I remember sitting on the patio outside with our reps and figuring out, how can we be more visible? Because I knew we just needed a competitive advantage, right?
Yeah.
What would be that competitive advantage? And it's so interesting, because in that respect, nothing has changed. The technology in which we execute and the complexity in which what it takes to actually have a competitive advantage today is different, but the desire is the exact same.
You know what? What I love about that story that kind of gets glossed over in the quickness of it is the big thing that made you guys unique and successful. Now, this was like 20 years ago in the magazine, was there was basically just a goofy guy standing in front of the car waving.
Yep.
Right. But in all the other pictures in the magazine, there was no guy. So you stood out because there was a guy standing in front of the car waving.
That's it.
And it was the littlest thing like that that made, you know, helped make a difference in the marketing. And then you guys kind of own that. And I remember when we built a website for you, like we had to have Josh on the website waving. Like it was always Josh waving all the things. And it became kind of a brand thing, but it was always funny to me.
But on that note, Matt, what made me feel super proud and excited, and these are some of the early seeds that you, whether you knew it or not, planted in me. I loved coming out to your guys' office because I felt modern. I felt like I was a part of something bigger than just the four walls of our car dealership. So I remember sitting there and working with your graphic designers and your dad and you to create some of these things. And I know you gave us special attention. I appreciate it. But those are the things that, had I not experienced that, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know exactly how to live in the space that I am in today.
Well, so I want to talk more about DealerQ. So DealerQ was started by some of the guys that came out of Venn, and they were having some success in what they were doing, but they were missing you. Yeah. And I think I was the one who went to Chris Hoke, who's one of the other founders, and I said, you need to talk to Danny. Danny's like the product guy, works at the dealership, has all the experience. He's young. He's very energetic, very smart, very good at marketing, really gets the used car market. You need Danny. And then you guys got together and like magic happened.
Well, kind of. Okay. So if you remember in 2016, 17, like 17, my dad had a stroke. My dad, I mean, his whole life carried two Nextel phones on him, smoke a pack of cigarettes, stopping by, buying Red Bulls in the morning. I'm like, total recipe for a stroke. And unfortunately he had it. The good news is it affected a small part of his brain. And so he's still active. He's still involved, but there was 6 months where he couldn't talk. And I remember not feeling like I was growing in the car dealership. I was shrinking because I wanted to do bigger things. I wanted to open more stores. I wanted to grow. And Josh wasn't interested. My dad, after he had a stroke, wasn't able to. And so I was like, gosh, I want to do something different. And I remember DealerPrints not succeeding, but I also remember why, right? And I was like, I think I have a resource. And that resource was you. So I reached out to you and I said, I have this idea. Can we meet? And then you said, yeah. You and I met at... what's that breakfast place on 119th?
Probably was Le Peep or something. It's gone now.
I don't know. It's not there anymore. But we met there like five or six times. We kept, you know, napkin math, drawing stuff out. You even connected me with a guy who had some software you thought I could make something out of. And then there was this one day, I remember you're like, hey, I know somebody that you should meet. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's do it. And then I remember meeting Chris for the first time. We went to Cafe Gratitude is where he told me to meet him. So we met there. I think we met there three times. And on the third time, he looks at me. He goes, okay, listen, I feel like we've been dating enough. It's time to actually like get married and let's do some cool stuff. And I'm like, for real? And he was like, yep. And I'm like, let's go. And at the time we were called Dealer Q. Through that process, we not just reimagined the solution, but we wanted a real impact in the industry. And so DealerQ continues to be the name of the corporation, but VinQ is the product that was born out of us working together.
So tell me, you know, when you joined with Chris, what was the part that you really brought that the company was kind of missing? Like what was that X factor that you brought that really helped them?
Well, let me first brag about Chris for a second and then I'll share that. Chris is, in my opinion, one of a few genuinely genius developers. I put you, Matt, in that category. Chris can make complicated things look really simple. And so it made it really easy for me to dream without limits. So the thing that I needed to learn, though, because I don't code, is the lift it takes for the dream I might have, because things do have to happen in some sort of order. And it was easy for me to say, well, what if we could do this? And what if we could do that? But really, it started with solving the problem. And Chris knew that my dealership was, partially ran by some curmudgeon-y old car dogs. And if we could appease them, then we could probably appease a few other people. So the first year was literally us building out appraisal, inventory management, and market pricing to appease Country Hill. And we knew if we could keep them from cussing every time they logged in, then we did something correct. And so I would work at the car dealership in the morning, and then I would take all the ideas and I'd come down to VinQ in the afternoon, and I would disseminate those ideas and we'd talk about them back and forth. And Chris came to the car dealership and then we got some more clients, and then we used that same technique to go to other car dealerships. And the cool part is people are quick to complain in our business because that's how we're programmed. We're not programmed to walk outside and pick the good stuff. We're programmed to walk outside and see the ding or the scratch or the whatever. So it became very easy for us to share what was working and what wasn't.
Well, and I think the key part of this story for those that are listening is it really takes both sides. You need somebody who really understands the technology that can build the product, But you need somebody like you that has the industry experience, has the ability to go talk to the customers, understand what they need to do, how to solve their problems, all that kind of stuff, and then relay it back to the development team. It takes both sides. And your industry experience with Chris really helped a lot of figuring out, okay, how do we perfect this technology and how do we take it to the next level? But most of the time, most entrepreneurs are on one side or the other of that, and they struggle because they don't have both.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because that, I agree with that 100%. The other piece of it that I didn't know, but I appreciate today probably the most, is how much trust I have in Chris and how much trust he has in me. And it's not something that I asked for. It's something that was born out of our equal desire to win. And I don't have any ego around anything he's doing, and he doesn't have any ego around mine. And it makes us both so much more powerful, because we want to do the right thing and win, and we're not watching over our backs, if that makes sense. So I don't know if there's somebody out there like listening to this and going like, how do I do this? I know Danny, like me, I work best on a team. I'm not a solo entrepreneurial that wants to be alone at the top. I do really, really well when I can team up with somebody who has strengths that I don't, and then I can compliment them. All of a sudden I feel like I can run through a wall. And thanks to you, I got to meet that person.
Well, and that is awesome. And I was just as lucky, I feel like, at Venn Solutions, especially in the later last 3 years of it or so. We had the right executive team, right? Had the right business partners. On the sales side, we were very gifted. We had a very, very great sales team. And I could trust them unequivocally to go sell the product and do all the stuff we need to do. And they could trust me to build it, right? And the exact same story you had, we had trust in each other. There was no ego. We could all just go execute. But on the flip side, I've had business partners for that were the opposite of that. Yeah. And it is really, really hard.
Isn't it awful? Because you like lose momentum. And that's the hardest
thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, ego kills everything. And if you don't have trust in each other, like, forget it. Yeah. So the key to partnerships is they work really, really well, or they don't. So lucky for you guys, it's worked really, really well. As we round out the show here today, I do want to take a second to remind everybody that today's episode is brought to you by FullScale. If you need help building any kind of software, web apps, mobile apps, whatever your tech stack is, front end, back end, mobile, QA, all different stuff, please check us out at fullscale.io. That's my company. We have 300 employees in the Philippines that have worked for over 100 different startups. So Danny, you said something before we started, a couple things that I wanted to touch on before we finish the show today. You said, Matt, I'm not that smart.
Yeah.
I was the car dealer's son that figured out how to do all this stuff. How did you figure out how to do this?
The funny part is, like, the de facto, when I get up in front of any audience to talk about used car appraisal or anything, is I'm all of a sudden the expert, right? And because I work for a tech company, I automatically get promoted in their brains. The truth is, I'm too dumb to give up. Like, one of my strengths is vision, and it can also be a weakness at times. I see things so clearly and I want them so badly that I can't, it makes me mad to give up on that vision. And it's served me in a lot of beautiful ways. And it's also, I've had to make compromises in other places where it's like, Danny, it's not about your vision, right? So I've learned the right times to lean in on that. And that vision gives me immense curiosity, because I genuinely want to solve the problem. And so how does that translate to the car world? We've broken down literally every step of that vehicle lifecycle process, from like what happens when you appraise a car, and what happens when you decide are you going to wholesale or retail, and what happens aside when you go through reconditioning and merchandising and all these different steps. These are all steps that we've been doing since, you know, I was a child in the car dealership, and I've watched them evolve. But how do we continue to modernize them in a way that makes people happy, like makes the users happy, makes the customer happy, and makes lives better? And that's what we're trying to do with VinQ, because it's quite frankly a lot easier to build it than it is to rebuild it.
Well, something else that's interesting about your guys' story is you kind of entered this market when there was one specific company that basically dominated the market.
Yeah.
Right? They had probably 80% of the market share. And I remember when Chris first started this company at the very, very beginning, he's like, oh, I want to go compete with them. I'm like, you want to do what? Why do you want to go compete with them? You're crazy.
We certainly didn't enter an easy space.
No, but here you are years later, you're giving them a run for their money every single day. And now there's mostly two of you, you know, and there's a few other also Rands that are, you've managed to, you know, go and be very successful competing against that Goliath.
Yeah, we're working on it, right? It was a lesson that I took from my dealership days, which I'm still in, but it was like, I call it scarcity mentality. My dad was never worried about another car dealer opening up across the street, like ever. And there was one time when a car dealer opened up that tried to come after us from a market share perspective. And there was like a short period of time where I was like, okay, man, what are they doing for marketing and how are they communicating and what cars are they buying and all this kind of stuff. And that the lesson in it for me was, who cares? Like, be the best you, period. Don't chase somebody else's dream. And so here we are. Absolutely, there's a competitor out there and it certainly makes it easier when you know who they are. But what's even more fun about that is knowing how to carve your own path. Somebody else said this to me, nobody wants a fully formed future. And I was like, what does that mean? And they're like, if you could define exactly how the future is going to be, you wouldn't want it anyways. I go, why not? He goes, because 9 times out of 10, it's better than what you imagined. So just like do the work and it'll come together. And that's what we've been up to.
Well, I really appreciate having you on the show today. And this is like a special episode to me because, you know, we've known each other for nearly 25 years and all the connections of all the things we have. Again, this was Danny Zaslavsky. You can check him out at dealerq.com. Or if you need to buy a car, countryhill.com.
Well done.
Josh might still be on the marketing somewhere waving. And thank you so much for doing this today, Danny. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Matt.
Take care.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it like we do it.